Okay, I invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 4, verse 1. John 4. If I had enough time, I was going to read all the way until verse 45, but for the sake of compacting everything together, we are going to resume reading from verse 39. John chapter 4, verse 1 to 45, but now let us read from verse 39. You know the story of Jesus with a Samaritan woman. In verse 39, many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his words. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." This is God's word. Amen. Amen. Who is Jesus to you? Who is Jesus to us? Many people believe and think so many things about Jesus. Some think he is a blesser. Some guy you can come to and, you know, he's just going to bless you with whatever that you need. So come to Jesus, believe in Jesus, and all your problems will disappear. Muslims and Jehovah's Witnesses think that Jesus Christ is not God, but some prophet. Who is Jesus to you? In the time of Jesus, people thought a lot of things about Jesus. And so Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" It was a very important question, because really people thought a lot of things about Jesus. And they told him, "Well, others say you're John the Baptist. And others say, think Elijah. And others say, you know, a prophet." And Jesus says, he's changing the question from "Who do people say I am?" to "And who do you say I am?" Who do you say I am? Peter answered. What did he say? "You are the Christ. You are the Christ." And so the Bible tells us he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. Why? Because time had not yet come. Again, you know, God, like we see, he progressively reveals himself, and the same with Christ. Time had not yet come, okay? The hour had not yet come, you know, for this to be made known to. And we know what they thought about the Christ. Lest they would be prematurely crowning, you know, and so time had not yet come. So he says, and the Bible tells us he's charged them not to tell anyone about him. Well, but time came when Jesus Christ, you know, continued, and when he began to progressively reveal to the world who really he was. And in the context of this Samaritan woman with Jesus, this woman, all she knew was, you know, she saw Jesus as someone who is hopeless, some Jewish man who is tired, who is thirsty, who is from a journey, who is hungry and who needs some help. She thought that Jesus is so desperate to even ask water from a Samaritan woman. Now remember that Jews and Samaritans did not freely mix. They did not share utensils. If you are reading John chapter 8, verse 48, we get an idea of the ethnic, racial, and religious issues between Jews and Samaritans. The Jews answered. Look at John 8, verse 48. I want you to have some understanding of how Jews perceived Samaritans, how they perceived one another. John 8, 48. The Jews, listen to this conversation, Jesus Christ, you know, with the Jews. John 8, 48. Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan? Even more, they are saying, and that you have a demon. That's what they perceive. That's how they perceive the Samaritans. Are we not right in saying that you are Samaritans, that you are and that you have a demon? So you can see clearly the Jews perceived Samaritans to be racial half-breeds, religiously heretic. If you want to listen to some good heresies, just go to the Samaritans. And they were ceremonially unclean. That's how they perceived them. Racial half-breeds, someone even said they were like colored people. They're not really white, they're not really black, they're just in between there. Okay, racial half-breeds, religiously heretic and ceremonially unclean. That's how the Samaritans were perceived. But despite being Jewish, Jesus had to pass through Samaria. Not to avoid, but he had to pass through Samaria, for he had a divine appointment with a Samaritan woman. We learn that Jesus reveals himself as the Messiah as he encounters this woman. I asked the question in the beginning, who is Jesus to you? And in this context, Jesus is revealing himself to be the Messiah. So, believe in Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Jesus reveals himself as Messiah. That's the first thing that we see here. What does Messiah mean? Messiah means the anointed one of God. He is called Christ. Look at John 4, 25. He is the anointed one of God. And so with this conversation, Jesus Christ with the Samaritan woman, it becomes very clear that Jesus is Messiah. He is the anointed one of God. He's the one who comes from God. Remember that Samaritans were avoided by the Jews, but Jesus had to pass through Samaria, not to avoid them. Jesus had to pass through on his way to Galilee. On his way, he engaged in a conversation with a woman who was not only Samaritan, but we also know a lot about this woman. He was marked as immoral by her community. For she was unmarried, yet had lived with five men. And so even when she goes to draw water, and you would know that usually women, when they're going to draw water, they don't go alone. Usually they go in numbers, two, three, four, five, a company, to go and draw water from the well. This woman was alone. She was alone. So yes, she's a Samaritan woman, marked as immoral by her own community, for she was unmarried and at least five men. She was an outcast, we can say, with no one to accompany her to the well. Despite all the background and all the things you can think about this woman, Jesus Christ wants to reveal himself to her, and later on to the whole village of the Samaritans. So what we see here, Jesus was purposeful. The Bible says he had to pass through Samaria. He was purposeful. And Jesus was relational to reveal to her who he was. The Samaritan woman progressed from thinking about Jesus as a mere Jew who is on a journey, who is tired, who is thirsty, who is hopeless, desperate to even ask water from the Samaritan, when, remember, they don't share utensils. So the woman moved from that, just seeing Jesus as some mere Jewish man, to one who is superior than Jacob. Our father gave us Jacob, gave us the well from which we drink, you know, that conversation. She moves from all that to seeing Jesus as one who is a prophet. And finally, as the Messiah. Go to verse 26. Go to verse 26. Jesus is clearly revealing himself as Messiah. In verse 25, the woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming. This we know. And we are waiting for the Messiah. He is coming. And when he comes, he's going to tell us all things we need to know." Jesus says, "I who speak to you, I am he. I am the Messiah. You are waiting for the Messiah. I am the Messiah." Verse 26, Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you, I am he. I am the anointed one. I am the one that comes from God the Father." There has never been anyone holy, anointed, righteous. Christ says, "I who speak to you, I am he." Clearly, Jesus Christ is here revealing himself to be the Messiah. And remember, it's in the context where people have been waiting for the Messiah. Look at verse 25. "I know that the Messiah is coming. He who is called Christos, he's coming. And when he comes, what does he do? He's going to tell us all things." Jesus says, "I am here to tell you all things you've been waiting to hear. I am here for that very purpose." So like this woman, you and I are undeserving, but by the grace of God, we come to know who Jesus really is. This woman, she's very undeserving. She's Samaritan. She's looked down upon as, you know, some woman who is immorally very bad, really. Five men. And you know the conversation. Christ says, you know, about the husband, yes, and she confirms, even the one that you're having is not your husband. But to such a person who is undeserving, Christ reveals himself to be the Messiah. Jesus reveals himself to be the Messiah. Now, this revelation has not been given to everyone, really. Some people are still waiting for the Messiah. There are people that you are going to dialogue with and talk with. You agree almost on everything in the Old Testament. But when it comes to the Messiah, verse 26, "I who speak to you am he," they are still waiting for the Messiah. Notice that the knowledge of Jesus really is led to salvation. This woman now believes in, you know, this man, Jesus, not just as some man, some Jewish man, but as Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. And how does she believe this? Well, it is grace. It is grace. She was undeserving, just like you and I are undeserving. That's the second point. We graciously believe in the Messiah. None of us can say, "I am deserving. I'm the right person to know about this Messiah and to have this news about Jesus Christ and to teach it." Well, it's grace. We graciously believe in the Messiah. We are also undeserving. Not everyone believes this simple truth. And what is this simple truth? That there is genuine worship in truth and in spirit. And this is what Jesus is revealing to this woman and to all of us that read this book. That there is genuine worship in spirit and in truth, according to verse 23. That broken relationships are restored, both vertically and horizontally. And Jesus Christ is revealing this even to a person who is undeserving like this Samaritan woman. We see Jesus Christ not looking down upon her or not discriminating, but reaching out and indeed revealing himself. He had to pass through Samaria. Despite her past life, through Jesus, the woman was acceptable before God. And we see she's bearing this testimony about this Messiah. Her reputation was restored, and her village mates believed her witness. Look at verse 39. They believed her witness. This is the woman who would go to the well alone. Even her village mates, would think about her otherwise. But when she goes back to the village and tells them about the Messiah, they believe. Despite who she was. What do I learn about this woman? She left the past in the past. When she knew about the Messiah, she said, I will go and tell my village mates about this man. Could he be the Messiah? What are we learning here? Surrender the past to Christ, for only he can free you, and he restores relationships. Don't let your past hinder your relationship with Jesus. And many of the times we can think about ourselves and what people have come to know about us and think, but how possibly can I go and share Christ with them? Now that I've known who Jesus is, remember the point here is Jesus is revealing himself as Messiah, and she has graciously believed, and after that, well, she's going to share. But the sharing part can be hindered because of keeping in mind what people know about you. She left the past to the past, and knowing the truth, she went into the village and told everyone about the Messiah. Please let go the past. Now I'm talking about you and I. Let go the past. Now that you have come to know who Jesus is and what he does, you will do well. You will do well to share that knowledge, to call others to Christ, to call others to know him. Will you surrender yourself to him, knowing your relationship with God? The Father has been restored, knowing that your relationship with God the Father is restored in and through Jesus Christ, and knowing that genuine worship of the Father is possible in truth and in spirit. What must we do? We must tell this truth to others. Let the grace of God take over. Yes, people may know you with a lot of things. You may have a dirty past life, but let the grace of God take over. You have not worked for reconciliation with the Father. Now that you've come to know who the Father is, who Jesus is, and what he's doing, and that he has graciously revealed himself to you, and that we have salvation and forgiveness of sin in and through Jesus Christ, I think let us be encouraged to tell others. It is not about the place also. When you follow the argument and the conversation, she talks about, but you Jews have the temple where you worship, and we worship in the mountain. And for Jesus Christ, he says it's not about the place. The time is coming, and the time is now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in truth and in spirit. So you see that worship, true worship, is made possible with Christ. I see people that even today want to pretty much worship in the bushes. I mean, if you're walking around or driving around on Sundays, you see people, they look for the nearby bush and there they want to worship because they want to keep it original, back to how they used to do it. It's not about the place. And in that context, you and I would learn that it's about Jesus Christ. True worship of God the Father is in and through Christ. So let us therefore witness Jesus to the world. And that's what we see Jesus, this woman is doing. After knowing the truth and graciously receiving this truth, she is going out to tell others. Let us therefore witness Jesus to the world. Through witness, the woman witnessed to her village mates. So Jesus witnessed to this woman. Jesus revealed himself to this woman. When she graciously received this, what we see, she is also going to witness to others. Despite her reputation, she does that. You and I come to believe through witness. Someone must have preached to you, whether it be on the streets or the pastor preaching to you. Someone witnessed to us. We came to believe. We came to faith. We must, therefore, never stop to continue to witness Jesus as Savior to the whole world. We came to faith through witnesses, and we are also sent out to go and witness Christ to many others. Jesus did not only witness to the Jews, but crossed the ethnic, crossed the racial, and the religious boundaries. And this is very important for us to also learn even today. Because sometimes our preaching or sharing the gospel, we tend to focus on certain people like us. What we see in this passage, Jesus is purposeful, is intentional. He did not only witness to the Jews, but he crossed the ethnic, the racial, and the religious boundaries. He witnessed the will of God, his Father, to peoples of all nations. Jews, Samaritans, Galileans, to all people. Jesus is not only the Savior of the people of the Bible, by that I mean the Jews, but of the whole world and all generations, including you and I. His message was simple. Look at verse 26. I who speak to you, I am he. What is our message in this context? Jesus is the Messiah. God has given us the Messiah. This is the promised one of the Old Testament. This is the one who brings us salvation, the one who dies for us, the one who redeems us, the one who reconciles us with God the Father. He is here. Believe in Jesus. You're going to meet people that will not agree with you that Jesus is Messiah. And they're still waiting for the Messiah. I who speak to you, I am he. People ask, where in the Bible does Jesus claim to be God, to be worshipped? Even this verse 26 is enough. I who speak to you, I'm here. I am the Messiah. Verse 25, the woman says, I know the Messiah is coming. Just says, I am the Messiah. The anointed one of God. Our message is indeed simple. When we have believed Jesus to be the Messiah, Jesus to be the Savior of the whole world, we must share that. Now, I meet Christians usually who say, I'm comfortable to come to church to receive the preaching and the teaching. And so in this context, we learn that Jesus is the Messiah. And you graciously believe that. But the question is, do you put a full stop there? Or you continue to witness to others? And many people actually put a full stop there. Yes, they come to church to receive and to learn more. And to believe what they learn. But they are dams and not flowing rivers. They receive this information and keep it and lock it to themselves. And what I also want us to learn from this passage is Jesus was purposeful. It was not coincidentally that he engaged with a Samaritan woman and that she comes to faith and that she goes to witness. The Bible says he had to pass through Samaria. For Jesus, it was not a mistake. For Jesus, he had, remember it's fully divine, he had a divine appointment, which the woman doesn't know about. Jesus knows. He was intentional. He was purposeful. And from that we can learn in how we share the gospel to be intentional. I'm going to visit this family or this friend. And my agenda is to share the gospel to this family. That's being purposeful. It's being intentional. Jesus reveals himself to a Samaritan woman as the Messiah. She believed, and the fruit of her faith is exhibited in her witness. So if we say, I'm a Christian, I come to church, I just want to learn the word of God and believe it to myself and keep it to myself, but not go and share, how is the fruit of your faith exhibited? We are like this orange tree or avocado tree at the back of your yard, you know, but which doesn't give fruit. I think one day you might think, what can we do with this tree? And then you realize we need to bribe, but we don't have wood. We might as well use this tree. It doesn't give us fruit. Dear friends, as we share the gospel, not only to people who are like us, and I'll share this story with you very quickly. When I started ministry, I started in Sunside, Pretoria. So the Africans service moved from Sunside, Pretoria to Brooklyn because Sunside was more and more crowded by black people and by foreigners. And so the white people moved to the nearby, Brooklyn. And they left the building there. They couldn't move with it. It's a reformed building. And so the vendors started the worship service there. Vendor Reformed Church. The services, everything was done in Vendor. And I could be wrong, but, 80-95% of the members were all vendors in Sunside. That tells me, even how they were doing their evangelism and mission work, they were targeting vendor-speaking people in Sunside, Pretoria. And if we do that, and if we come to read what Christ is doing, Christ is breaking all the barriers, the racial issues, what we think about ourselves, our tribal status, he passes and he breaks all that. He had to pass through Samaria, which the people of those days would intentionally avoid Samaria. Even if it takes them more kilometers of walking, they would rather do that than passing through Samaria. If it was today, you would prefer to burn more petrol to go around than to pass through Samaria, because you don't want to interact with these people who are half-breed and religiously heretic and ceremonially unclean and all that. Now, Jesus Christ, he shares, and he reveals himself to a Samaritan woman. And what we learn from this is, in how we share the gospel, we may not look at, is he of the same skin tone or color as me? Does he speak the same language as me? Does he come from the same country as me? Is he Xhosa or Venda like me? When we share the gospel to people of all nations. Therefore, in conclusion, don't be picky, but be purposeful. Amen? Don't be picky. And look at this one. Looks like it's from Congo. You see, when you're doing evangelism and you're walking, don't be picky, don't be choosy. Instead, be purposeful and be relational in witnessing the supremacy of Jesus to the world. And the message: Jesus is the Messiah, and as Messiah, he is the anointed one who comes from God, who works our righteousness. He's the one who goes to the cross and dies for us. He's the one who reconciles our relationship with God the Father. He's the one through whom we reach the Father and worship him genuinely, in spirit and in truth. Yes, the mission field is so big and so wide, and one wonders, but where do I start from? Or start from your house? Do you share the word of God, the gospel message in your families, with your siblings, with your parents? Because if you can't, really, I wonder how you would do it outside to other people and people of all nations if you don't start from your own house, from your own church, from your own community to go into the rest of the world. I think and I believe that every Christian has this mandate, can I call it obligation, to share the gospel message. To reveal to the world who Jesus is. And in this context, Jesus is Messiah. It's our obligation to share to the whole world that God has graciously given us the Messiah. And through him, we have forgiveness of sin. Shall we pray? Father, it's in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, we say thank you, even this day, that you teach us and that you remind us from this text who Jesus is, the long-awaited one of the Old Testament, Messiah, the Holy One of God, God himself, who comes and dwells among us, Emmanuel. God, we are so grateful that we have seen and experienced your grace. Undeserving people, like we see this Samaritan woman, undeserving in her own community, undeserving to the Jews, and yet to such a woman, Christ reveals himself. We don't perceive ourselves to be better people, deserving people, but in all the ways we see how undeserving we are before you and reckon your grace to grant to us Jesus Christ, that in and through him we would be reconciled with you. I pray even this day that, Father, it may be true for each one of us that indeed a Savior has been given, and that through him we have reconciliation, not only with you, but also with our brothers and sisters. God, I pray that you will press it upon our hearts, each one of us, to be intentional in how we bring Christ to the many other people, that they too will come to believe in him and worship him with us. God, it's our prayer that you may, by the power of your Spirit, enable us to do this task. Bless us now, even for the rest of this day and the rest of our activities. It's our prayer that, Lord, you may go before us, that you may guide our conversations with one another, even in the teaching and learning. God, we pray that would your Spirit be actively involved. And all these things we pray to the honor and glory of King Jesus. Amen.